Good evening, and welcome to Quick News Briefing. I'm Arjiv. Joining me, as always, is our stellar reporter, Arohi, ready to bring us the latest from around the globe. Arohi, before we dive into today's headlines, let's look back. On this day in history, March 24, 1989, the Exxon Valdez oil tanker spilled millions of gallons of crude oil into Prince William Sound, Alaska. It became one of the most devastating environmental disasters in U.S. history, a stark reminder of the global impact of energy and industry, a theme we'll touch upon today. We're drawing from NDTV News, NPR Topics, The New York Times, U.S. Top News and Analysis, the BBC, CNBC, and many others, bringing you a comprehensive look at the stories shaping our world. Let's jump in. Arohi, let's begin with significant U.S. political developments, particularly some unexpected election results from Florida and North Carolina. What's the latest?
Absolutely, Arjiv. We're seeing interesting shifts in the U.S. political landscape. In Florida, Democrat Emily Gregory secured a victory in a special election for a legislative district in Palm Beach. This is particularly noteworthy because this district includes President Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence, and a Republican candidate won it by 19 percentage points just 2 years ago in 2024.
So, a significant flip, especially given the location. I understand President Trump had endorsed the Republican candidate.
That's right. President Donald Trump had publicly endorsed Republican John Maples in the special election. Gregory's win is being seen as a Democratic surge reaching directly into the former president's backyard. Meanwhile, another closely watched race for a state Senate seat in Florida, vacated by the lieutenant governor, sees a union leader currently ahead.
Intriguing. And we also saw another close election in North Carolina as well?
Indeed. In North Carolina, Republican Senator Phil Berger, despite having significant financial backing, political power, and an endorsement from President Trump, lost his re-election bid to Sam Page by a mere 23 votes. This outcome is attributed to a long list of resentments from his critics finally coming to a head. It highlights how every single vote can matter, even for established figures.
From election surprises to ongoing challenges, let's turn our attention to the Homeland Security shutdown. Are Republicans making headway on a funding deal?
There are renewed efforts, Arjiv. Senate Republicans have reportedly sent Democrats a new proposal aimed at breaking the stalemate over DHS funding. This plan suggests breaking off ICE enforcement funding and reopening the rest of the department. This comes just a day after President Trump had expressed a desire not to compromise on the issue, signaling a potential shift in strategy among Senate Republicans to try and find a resolution.
A lot happening domestically. Let's turn our attention internationally now. We have a rather unusual story from Ecuador regarding a U.S. military operation.
This one is certainly raising eyebrows, Arjiv. The U.S. military, in conjunction with Ecuador, reported bombing what they claimed was a drug training camp. However, the New York Times visited the location and residents there strongly assert that the site was, in fact, a dairy farm. This discrepancy is leading to serious questions about intelligence gathering and verification in joint operations.
A dairy farm mistaken for a drug camp? That's quite a misstep. Shifting gears to Cuba, their medical missions have long been a point of contention, haven't they?
They have. Cuba's practice of sending doctors on medical missions abroad is a major source of revenue for the island nation. However, it's highly controversial, with the U.S. government being a strong opponent. Under pressure from the Trump administration, several countries are now sending Cuban doctors home, impacting both Cuba's economy and the health services in those recipient nations.
A complex geopolitical issue with real human consequences. Now, let's pivot to the Middle East, where the ongoing conflict in Iran is having global ramifications, particularly concerning energy and the economy.
The ripple effects are indeed widespread. Everyday life in Asia, for instance, is being significantly upended by the Iran war fuel crisis. Asia relies heavily on oil and gas from the Gulf, and shortages combined with higher prices are starting to bite consumers and industries across the continent.
And what about the broader market impact, like on gold prices?
Interestingly, Arjiv, gold prices jumped over 2% recently. This surge came as an easing in oil prices, following reports that Washington is working on a proposal to de-escalate the Middle East conflict, helped temper inflation fears. It shows just how sensitive global markets are to developments in the region.
It underscores the interconnectedness of global markets and geopolitics. We're also hearing about diplomatic efforts to address this crisis.
Yes. Indian Prime Minister Modi and the Sri Lankan President recently discussed the Middle East conflict and energy security, reaffirming their commitment to work closely as trusted partners. This highlights the global concern and the need for international cooperation to navigate the crisis and its economic fallout.
The economic fallout is clearly severe. Total Energy's CEO Patrick Pouyanné had some strong words on the refining margins.
He did. Puyane stated that the world has never experienced soaring refining margins like the current situation. He also discussed TotalEnergies' $1 billion deal with the White House and their investment plans in the U.S., emphasizing the volatile and unprecedented nature of the current energy market due to the Iran war.
And from a strategic standpoint, what are analysts saying about the U.S. position in this conflict?
According to Robert Pape, a former White House advisor, the current situation is creating a trap closing around Trump, giving Iran a significant advantage. He suggests the dynamics of the conflict are complex and could potentially put the U.S. in a difficult strategic position.
Let's move to some other significant international stories. A rare event in Australia's media landscape.
That's right, Arjav. Journalists at Australia's national broadcaster, the ABC, have gone on strike for the first time in 20 years. Staff walked out for 24 hours over a pay rise offer that they say is below inflation, highlighting the economic pressures felt by media professionals even in public broadcasting.
A rare moment of industrial action there. Finally, let's head to Denmark, where election results are in.
In Denmark, tough negotiations loom after the Social Democrats, led by Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen, failed to secure a majority. While her party gained the most votes and she seeks a third term, it was their weakest result in over a century. Frederiksen had previously enjoyed a surge in popularity for her stance against the U.S. over Greenland, but her overall support has dipped since 2022. This sets the stage for potentially challenging coalition talks.
Arohi, thank you for those comprehensive updates. A truly packed news day from around the world.
My pleasure, Arjav.
And before we go, here's a fascinating fact for our listeners. Did you know that the silence we perceive in space isn't actually silent? It's just a vacuum, meaning sound waves can't travel. However, space is full of electromagnetic vibrations, which NASA can convert into space sounds. These recordings from planets and moons offer eerie and unique auditory experiences completely unlike anything we hear on Earth. That's all the time we have for today's quick news briefing. Thank you for tuning in. Join us tomorrow for more of the day's top stories. Good night.